My next guest is a young songwriter in the tradition of Paul Simon, Leonard Cohen, and Bob Dylan. His lyrics have always seemed to me wise beyond his years. His new album is called So Runs the World Away. Please welcome Josh Ritter.
Stars up above, directionless and drifting, and somewhere in the dark, with the sirens and the thunder, and around me as I swam, the drifters who'd gone under. Time, love, time, love, time, love, time, love, time, love, time. Love, it's only a change of time. I had a dream last night that rusting far below me, battered hulls and broken hardships, Leviathan and lonely. I was thirsty, so I drank, and though it was salt water, there was something about the way it tasted so familiar. Time, love, time, love, time, love, it's only a change of time, love, time, time, love, it's only a change of time. Clouds I'm hanging, this anchor I'm dragging, sails of memory rip open in silence. We cut through the lowlands, all hands through the salt lands, white caps of memory, confusing and violent. Whoa. I had a dream. When I opened my eyes, your shoulder blade, your spine were shorelines in the moonlight. New worlds for the weary, new lands for the living. I could make it if I tried. I closed my eyes, I kept on swimming. Time, love, time, love, time, love, it's only a change of time, love. Time, time, love, it's only a change in rough seas. They carry me wherever I go. Rough seas, they carry me wherever I go.
That was Josh Ritter performing Change of Time off his new album, So Runs the World Away. Josh, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me here.
So you've said, So Runs the World Away marks the beginning of a new period in my life. I'm not a kid anymore. According to the Oliver Wendell Holmes 15-year deal, you are a kid to me. But how, does this song you just sang reflect that not being a kid anymore?
I think I felt like I was a grown up when I was 8.
And we have a theme going here.
Yeah. That same where you feel like you're consistently disabused of the idea that you're either a child or a grown up, you know.
So Runs the World Away, that title is a line from Hamlet that Hamlet delivers. Yeah. What's he talking about?
Well, it's a beautiful scene where he's talking about watching a play. He says that some must watch while some must sleep, so runs the world away. And I loved it, just kind of tripped off the tongue, you know. And it really felt like it described what I was trying to write about this record.
Now, speaking of Hamlet, I guess, in terms of its darkness, I understand you had a fairly dark period yourself before you had begun writing the songs on this record.
Well, it was a moment when there were so many things were going great. You know, I've put out a bunch of records, and I've been really lucky to be a musician who can make a living playing music, and that seems like a miracle. And I'd just gotten married. I'd moved to New York. Everything was, yeah, it was an amazing thing. And yet when I sat down to write, I just couldn't write. Nothing came. That's never been something I've ever had a problem with. I always thought, well, if it's not happening now, I just don't have anything to say. But then it just kept not happening, you know.
And then you thought of The Mummy. Talk about that.
I was lying in bed one night, and the garbage trucks in New York are a whole new thing to me. Like, they have, you know, they have parades. They have their own holidays. I don't understand. The bags come out. They're blue. One of them is driving these. Maybe an armada of trucks down our street, and like 3:30 in the morning, there'll be like 34 of these, and maybe it was just the position that I was lying in felt very mummy like, or something. But anyway, the story came into my mind, and it was a story about a mummy who falls in love with the archaeologist who kind of revived him, and I always really loved the idea of mummies and the, you know, doing everything correctly to get this person to the right place. And I thought that was always really, you know, beautiful.
And it broke your writer's block, that.
Yeah, it did.
Middle of the night thought, thanks to the garbage men of New York.
Yeah, yes. Thank you to them. They deserve a lot.
And that became the song The Curse?
Yes, yeah.
You want to play it?
I would love to.
Great.
That'd be great.
He opens his eyes, falls in love at first sight with the girl in the doorway. What beautiful lines, how full of life after thousands of years. What a face to wake up to. He holds back a sigh, she touches his arm, she dusts off the bed where till now he's been sleeping. Under miles of stone, the dried fig of his heart, under scarab and bone, starts back to its beating. She carries him home in a beautiful boat. He watches the sea from a porthole in stowage. He can hear all she says as she sits by his bed. And one day his lips answer her in her own language. The days quickly pass. He loves making her laugh. The first time he moves, it's her hair that he touches. She asks, are you cursed? He says, I think that I'm cured. Then he talks of the Nile and the girls in bulrushes. He is laid in a glass-covered case. He pretends he is dead. People crowd round to see him, but each night she comes round, and the two wander down the halls of the tomb that she calls a museum. Often he stops to rest, then less and less, then it's her that looks tired, staying up asking questions. He learns how to read from the papers that she is writing about him, and he makes corrections. It's his face on her book. More and more come to look, families from Iowa, Upper West Siders. Then one day it's too much, he decides to get up, and as chaos ensues, he walks outside to find her. She's using a cane, and her face looks too pale, but she's happy to see him. As they walk, he supports her. She asks, "Are you cursed?" But his answer's obscured in a sandstorm of flashbulbs, rowdy reporters. Such reanimation, the two tour the nation. He gets out of limos, he meets other women, he speaks of her fondly. Their nights in the museum, but she's just one more rag now. He's dragging behind him. She stops going out, she just lies there in bed, in hotels and whatever towns they are speaking. Then her face starts to set, and her hands start to fold, and one day the dried figure of her heart stops its beating. Long ago on the ship, she asked why pyramids. He said, think of the mass, an immense invitation. She asked, are you cursed? He said, I think that I'm cured. Then he kissed her and hoped that she'd forget that question.
That was Josh Ritter singing The Curse. That should, I mean, have you sold that to Hollywood yet? It's a good story.
They want it.
And I was joking. I'm talking with Josh Ritter. We're going to take a quick break. And in a minute, the writer Juno Diaz will join us. I'm Kurt Anderson. We're live in the green space in New York City. This is Studio 360 from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International. Stay with us.